Good afternoon and welcome to our afternoon worship service together. Again, we're so glad that Tremont's here. We are glad that you guys have made us part of your afternoon and your weekend adventure. Again, we bring back love and greetings from Kingston, Jamaica. Excited the Bible classes decided to join in. We were going to maybe debrief our trip, but we had time to do that Friday. So they are, instead of using that time, they are here with us as well. We are on July 7th. I think, is that the right date, Ken? In the morning, the Bible class will be sharing about the trip. So I hope I don't take away too much from that day this morning. So a little bit of setup. We're going to talk a lot about, I guess, if you title the afternoon, right? It's what's next. Coming home from a mission trip, you think like, okay, what's next? And that applies to all of us, even if it's you didn't come home from Jamaica, right? What's next? The answer could be, I'm going to continue. You're doing what you're supposed to do. I'm going to continue. I also want to just give a word of on the emotional high of the trip, right? That's those feelings come down, and that's normal. And that doesn't mean that you're no longer spiritual, right? Bible class, hear that. Your feelings will fluctuate as we immerse ourselves, as Ken wrote about so elegantly last night in the blog. So what's next? And so I'm thinking about all the inputs I've had over the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, right? We had VBS, and we talked about speaking life, and then we did a study ahead of time of the missions trip, and then spending all week and having morning devotions and afternoon worship time together and being part of a community. There's a lot of places of influence. So we will. So let's speak to that. Part of that is the book, right? So Blake provided some great wisdom for us, some great leadership. He provided leadership for us, and he prepped us. They prepped us for the trip. They did not want us to be a work team, right? They said, "Don't be a work team. Come down and be a life team." And he taught us what life was. Don't be a work team. So as we the book is helping without hurting. Right? So we studied that. And so as all material, is it biblical? And that's what we're going to talk about today. The things I learned, I think the concepts that I learned in that book, are they biblical? And I got three great passages that you decide if they line up. And we'll read those together. Okay, so no longer a work team. The problem with being a work team is we become a paternal, a parent, right? Paternal attitude or a God syndrome. Right, here I am, the hero of the story, going to swoop down to Jamaica and save the day. There's a lot of pride in that, right? We wrestle with that. There's a lot of pride with that. I'm going to go and I'm going to make a difference for the world. No, this means no and sign. No, right? Come down and be a learning team. Be a learning team. So instead of a working team, a learning team. And they described it as life. And L, our first goal for the trip was L, learn, right? Learn. In the afternoons, we'd have a class. We had a how to make coffee class. I heard it, thank you. A sign language class, presentations on the ministry down there, right? Their organization, what they're doing, and the positives. And we had a perspectives class that we did in each afternoon. So we learned. And then they added I would not be part of the book, and that would be invest, right? Invest, and we're going to talk a lot about that. L-I-F, fellowship. Just be. Just come and be with us. Fellowship. And then E, encourage. Come and encourage. Encourage those. Encourage Blake and his wife, and encourage Seth Cabe, who are down there full time, right? Encourage those who are investing long term, that are staying more than a week. Encourage. Let's read. Let's go to the first scripture. It's in Deuteronomy 15. Deuteronomy 15. So one thing I've got to wrestle. So one question we're going to ask as we turn to Deuteronomy 15 is the book talks about there is a need to minister to the poor. There is a need to minister to the poor, and is that biblical? And am I doing it? Right? Is that biblical? And are we doing that? How are we doing that? And are we doing it the best way? Or are we doing it the way that God wants us to do? So for the Old Testament, it's Deuteronomy 15. We're going to read verses 7 through 11. And then we'll sing a song, pray, and continue in God's Word. I think the instruction of them going into the Promised Land. And he even says earlier in the chapter, listen, if you do everything that I say, you won't have any poor. And then later, I think we're going to read, but you'll always have poor with you. So obviously, God knows we won't do everything he says. As we learned this morning, as Tom was preaching about the fall, right? God's what God would really like, what he desires, what he really wants. And then the reality of humanness. I'm in Leviticus. Exodus. This is Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I was going to say, I don't think that's the right scripture. Deuteronomy 15, verse 7. Providing for the poor. If there be among you a poor man of one of the brethren within any of the gates in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thy heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother, but thou shalt open thy hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Beware that there be not a thought in your wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him not, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works, and in thou puttest thine hand unto. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thy hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, to thy needy in thy land. We read through verse 11. And it goes on talking more about the other relationships in that, right? So what do we learn from that scripture? There's always going to be poor. Okay, so does that mean we do nothing? Is that what we do? That's not what the scripture tells us in Deuteronomy. We should not have a wicked heart or a hardened heart. How many of us stop giving because we have a hard heart? It's not changing anything. Right? We have to have an open hand. Let's sing together. 385. Let's sing 385. Let's pray together. Father God, we come to you in the great name of Jesus, your precious Son. We come to you boldly, humbly, and yet boldly because of his great grace. Lord, we thank you so much for sending him down to this earth that we can have a chance of redemption because of his shed blood. And that we, as we learned this morning, that you were there wanting a relationship with us, desiring us to be close with thee. Lord, draw us. Pour your grace upon Tremont. Pour your grace upon Indianapolis. Pour your grace upon Belvedere. And Lord, just pour your grace upon our cities. Pour your grace upon the church. Your hands and feet in this age of the church. Lord, that we can be biblical. Help us learn. Help us learn what your word says. Help us learn what you desire. Pray that you help us invest. Stop spending our time in the weeds, but invest, Lord, in kingdom work, and help us fellowship and just be with our brothers and be with our neighbors and be with the poor amongst us, and help us encourage each other. Lord, we just pray for your wisdom. We pray that your word will speak to our heart. You know what we need to hear. So may we have ears that hear. For thine is. Before we finish, Lord, we pray a blessing upon Glenn and Nancy, Lord, as we celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary. Bless them for being an example to us. Lord, we also know that the camps have recently gone on, the youth camps, and then there's, I think, camps this weekend. So we pray that your spirit will work mightily amongst our children and our students, that they will surrender all of their lives to thee. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory forever. Amen. All right, let's open up to Luke chapter 3. We're going to read just a portion out of Luke 3. We're going to see what John the Baptist. I doubt we have time, so I'd rather go back and take Deuteronomy 15, verse by verse. The third scripture that would have been that we're going to cover would have been Luke 14, verses 12 to 14. And it's when Jesus is commanding, when you have a dinner, don't invite your family member. Invite the lame and the cripple and those who can't repay. Right? So Jesus, I think, it speaks in Luke 14. About giving and having an open hand and doing so without motivation of things in return. And if we have time, we'll get there. But we only got like 13 more minutes, right? Because we're going to celebrate. We're going to have a party here, which is fantastic. I've been like partying all week. Why stop now? Let's just keep having fun. I know the most impactful thing, but before I share that, one thing that we learned in our perspective class was perspective. And one thing that we learned from the book was stop being negative-based, but be asset-minded. Okay, so in the perspective class that we took, we saw this picture, and they're like, what does this look like? And it looked like trash. It did. It looked like just an arrangement of trash. And then they spin the camera around, and you look through it through the lens, and there's this beautiful piece of art. And then you kind of saw it from the side, and you kind of saw how that was built, and just like to be able to put those pieces together, and it was awesome. So stop thinking that about the death of people who can't, and that who are people that are broken, but that they can, right? A little organization for the business-minded, right? So Harvest Call, our Harvest Call, us, right? That's, you guys know who Harvest Call is, right? Right? Jamaica owns a for-profit business in Jamaica called Death Can. Death. death can. Okay. Look, I knew this would be a problem. I say deaf and death backwards, and if I speak fast, it's just going to come out. And my friends in the back row are pointing this out to me. So, deaf. In order to say it properly, I got to say death first, and then I can say deaf. So please, we'll continue on. Let me just acknowledge that, and we'll go forward. So stop thinking that, and everybody, just not the deaf community, but everybody, as we look at them, be absent-minded. What can you do? Right? Think about the message this morning, and think about the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus is like, hey, what do you have? I got 5 loaves. And from a human perspective, that's like, I got 5 loaves? I mean, that can't even have a dent. Us disciples are going to eat all those. Right? And Jesus, from Jesus' point of view, are you kidding me? You know how much extras we're going to have? I don't need 5 loaves. So stop. As you think about your role and your ministry and Christ living inside you and what you're supposed to do, stop thinking what you don't have. What do you have? What assets do you have that Christ can just magnify? Wow. That's a sign I learned. Wow. Right? What do you have? What have you been given? And I look around here and I think I see everybody here has been given the gift of the Word of God. And you got a shot of faith. Right? Most of us here don't have major obstacles besides the evil one himself and concern. We know the Word of God. We have language. Right? We have our language. So Jamaica Harvest Call, they have a for-profit company called Deaf Can, right? Jamaican, a can of coffee. Jeff can't, deaf can do things. Change your perspective. And they got a coffee farm they've started. They're hoping to get a harvest soon. They have a goal of trying to get 500 pounds a year. They have roasting business. They can roast the roast coffee beans. They buy, and then they do a house blend. They do a pure Blue Mountain blend, and they roast coffee. And then they got a cafe on campus that we are at. So if you get a chance to do a Jamaican trip and you love coffee, sign up for Kingston because they got a coffee shop there. And so you're supposed to fellowship and just be. So why not do that? And they make, I don't know if you've noticed that Starbucks now has a cold brew with nitrogen. That's like old stuff. I mean, they've been doing that down in Jamaica for years now. So who's Starbucks? They got a fantastic cold brew down there, and the lattes are wonderful, and you can almost consider it tithe money. So my tithes this week went way up, baby. So that's just kind of and then the ministry there, right? Is they're empowering, right? It's a whole culture. The whole life down in the Jamaica deaf community has been telling what you don't have. Don't use hearing impaired. Right, that's not the problem. I learned that this week. Hearing impaired. I thought that was probably a political correct word. That's not the right word. That's a negative based, right? They are the deaf community. That's who they are. And there's deaf gain, right? There's things you can selective listen sometimes, right? You don't want to listen, you just put your head down. You're done. You can also communicate farther than song, farther than I see him communicate walking all the way across the yard. Where voices couldn't be. So there's assets buried. There's assets for being deaf, which we don't understand or can't comprehend as much because we have our ears. Let's read the scripture. We're in the middle of John the Baptist here in his sermon, and I think this would say speak to giving to the poor in here. Verse 7, let's start in verse 7. If we had more time to read the whole chapter. Then he said to the multitude that came forth to be baptized, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we are Abraham to our father, for I say unto you, the God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into fire. And people ask him, saying, what shall we do then? Right? So pause. We know it's all about, we know we don't get salvation on works, right? We know salvation and justification comes from Jesus himself and his blood on his cross. And it's just accepting the great, expensive gift that was paid for you. It's not a free gift, right? Free for us, to a point, from one perspective. But it's a very expensive gift. You tell the disciples who witnessed the cross, and you said Jesus didn't pay anything, right? Go talk to the disciples and get their perspective. That is why we are saved. And it's out of that great love and that great knowing of what Christ did for us that we bring forth good fruits. So I don't think John's preaching here saying that your fruits are going to save you. As Christ comes onto the scene, he's preaching, you're going to follow God, right? You're following God, Yahweh. And because you follow him, Leviticus 15, Deuteronomy 15, you're going to give freely. You're going to have works that just blossom. Right, the we got to work on the coffee farm. We saw these little coffee trees. The coffee tree doesn't just, they might actually start in the wild, right? There's a lot of work being put in. You got to dig these holes and mix the fertilizer in there. And then you got to plant it and you got to prune it and you got to make it grow. But then the seeds come out. So if we're coffee trees, Christ makes us the tree. He gives us the gifts. And it's the fruits that come out that John's going to talk about. What gifts? So I wonder what fruit that he gives as an example. Verse 8, bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. Right? Repentance, changing, going hard, following full into God. And begin not to say within yourselves, we are the seed of Abraham's. Father, I already read this. For I say unto you that God is able to these stones. He's talking about their thoughts at that time. Okay, verse 10. That's where we're at. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? He answered and said unto them, he who has two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. He that hath meat, let him do likewise. Right? You got two coats? Give one away. You got some food? Share your food. So take your asset that you have and give it with an open hand. That's not our natural reaction, is it? Okay, maybe I'll give you one coat if I have 10. Right? But I need one for the fall. I need one for when it rains. I need one in the deep winter. I need a work coat. I need a play coat. Really? Right? I mean, this is back to the society where food, finding food's an issue. We don't even have that issue. Right? Most of us are food, and most of us in this room are food secure. Right? There's stats in Indiana. I don't think we have people dying of starvation, but we definitely have people who are not food secure. Verse 12. And then came the publicans, right? These are the tax collectors, to be baptized. And he said, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed to you. Stop cheating people. Stop being greedy. Stop taking what's not yours. Collect your taxes. Live on your salary and go forth. And then the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, what shall we do? And he said to them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages, right? Stop using your strength. Don't be a bully. Don't accuse people falsely. Don't lie, and then be content with your wages. And as the people in expectations and all the men amused in their hearts of John, whether he was a Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mighty that I come that latches the loose whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And he goes on to talk about Christ and that who John is in there. Right? So maybe we need to be about helping the poor. The author of the book, right? He's like, I've been, he says it humbly, right? I've been in helping the needy, and I'm getting a lot of backlash for that. Back that's his story. So I'm like, well, maybe we have a problem of sharing. And is there a need, right? Is there a harvest? Is the harvest plentiful? Jesus says it is. You learned a fun stat. Ben one morning gave some. We were talking through our devotions, and he says that these numbers aren't going to be exact. You can look them up. But 70% of Americans, right, of our direct peers, believe that they are Christians. 70%, of which 33% believe God's word to be true. So only 33% believe God's word is going to be true, and 8%, only 8% go to church more than once a week. So I don't know if you get to count both these services as two, right? You got to go to Wednesday. I don't know where the stats are. So it goes from a 70% and then only 30% believe that the Bible's true, and only 8% are actively in a church. Don't we believe that's necessary? Don't we love our fellowship? Don't we believe that we love, right? I love the fact that Tremont can come here and I can love on you guys. And then if I go out there, you're going to love on me. I love going down to Jamaica and hanging out with Blake and Seth, and just from day one. Like, I saw my Blake never came to my house for the 5 months he spent here. I never ate one meal with Blake for the 5 months that he spent in Indianapolis. And yet I have this great connection with him down there. It made me think. 1,080. We've been in Indianapolis for about 20 years now. And that's 1,080 Sundays that I've been a part of this church. Do you want to guess how many people I've brought to church? Over 7,300 days? 20 years? 1,080 Sundays? Zero. Jack, you brought one. Liam, he's come to Giants a couple times. Zero. I've told people about Christ. I've shared love in the community in different ways. Not all 7,300 days. But if I believe church is so important and there's such a great need, why is the number zero?
Makes you think, doesn't it? Think about how the Word works on us, how Jesus is trying to speak to us. I was just thinking a little bit. You know, I've never been to Jamaica. I know some of you and young people from Tremont have probably been to Jamaica and need to go there sometime. I was thinking about, you know, the death. You know, and we think, oh, it's too bad. And it is. But aren't we, sometimes we can be deaf in a different way? I think Brother Joe just kind of talked about that. How many people have I really brought to church? Probably not that many. Other than my family, of course, obviously. But that's a challenge. So Brother Joe started out at the beginning. He says, what's next? Well, you might say, well, I know I've got to work tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I got this to do in the evening. Well, that's your plans, not necessarily what's next. Well, it comes right down to it. We might not know exactly what is next, but God does. Jesus does. I was just kind of thinking, just tying it back to this morning, what Jesus told the disciples there at the end. I've got this. Don't be afraid. I've got it. So it comes down to trusting Him. It comes down to, sometimes we don't like what we hear, we kind of turn the volume down, turn it all the way down in our mind. Can't do that. How else are we going to know what's next if we turn God off? So let's turn God up loud and clear so we can hear it. Let's not be afraid. And let's trust Him. because He is God. We've been really encouraged today and been blessed and thankful. Maybe brother can provide us with a hymn for closing.
Our Father in heaven, we return thanks to Thee as we don't even, not even probably close to comprehend how blessed we are. And that love beyond measure has been shown to us because we don't even comprehend how undeserving we are. And that while we were yet in our sin, that we were first loved and thy Son died for us. We thank thee for this gospel message, and strengthen us and encourage us to share it. Thanks for this past afternoon service and even the morning service to read thy word. It is so powerful, and it encourages and instructs us. It admonishes us, and through thy Spirit, what we need is delivered to us. And so we give thee thanks for this opportunity we've had of thy word and of song worship and prayer to thee and fellowship in this day. And so we do thanks. We do give thee thanks. And give us soft hearts. May thy word continue to reach and call and draw souls that are lost to thee, and help us as those of us that do know the truth and that do believe to be willing and used by thee in this work. But we know it's thy increase. And so bless thee, this congregation here in Indianapolis. And thanks. We give thee, bless them for their hospitality. And thanks for this privilege we have of travel, the privilege of a mutual fellowship through Jesus Christ. And so we do ask for thy continued safekeeping throughout this day. And thanks for thy faithfulness, and as we as they proceed to celebrate a wedding anniversary, and it's still a testimony of thy faithfulness, because we know that of our own strength, even we mess up relationships, and it's of thy strength that that relationship can be maintained and grow through the years. So we give thee return our thanks to thee for all these things, and we pray this through Jesus' name. Amen.